everyone, and welcome to Business Line Podcast, and this is your host, Anjana. Today, we are diving into a very interesting topic. What exactly Gen Z generation is seeking when they apply for a job. Our discussion today is inspired by a recent report titled Navigating Gen Z Workplace Expectations in 2024, Insights for HR Professionals, brought to us by Internshala Jobs, the job arm of the career tech platform Internshala. This report uncovers some fascinating insights into how Gen Z prioritizes aspects like work-life balance, the importance they place on learning and development initiatives, and much more. Joining us to discuss these findings is Kamal Karanth, co-founder of Xfino, a specialist staffing company. So, whether you are an HR professional seeking to understand and adapt to the evolving expectations of Gen Z, or simply someone curious to know about the future of the workplace, you won't want to miss this insightful conversation. Let's jump right in and explore what Gen Z is really looking forward to when it comes to their careers and workplace. Kamal, in this report by Internshala Jobs, we have a lot of insights and they're really interesting. One of them that actually struck me here was that 67% of Gen Z job seekers are actually looking forward to learning and growth prospects, which is offered by these organizations. But why is this shift? Why are job seekers preferring it over a big salary package?
Anjana, it will be a generous statement to make that Gen Z wants growth and learning in their jobs over money. It is clear that Gen Z job seekers are the generation that has heard the most in terms of job readiness, industry readiness, skill gaps, finishing school, etc. So in a way, this is the cohort that went through the glut of both engineering and business talent supply in the job market.
Right.
So operating in an oversupply market, they have no choice but to focus on learning, upskilling, and increasing relevance while in employment.
Mm-hmm.
But one has to note that with all these stated priorities, you know, if we take the gloss away, mm-hmm. it's unlikely that these Gen Z will accept any new jobs if we are not offering a significant salary hike to them.
Right. Interesting. One of the things, Kamal, when I was going through this report, that I felt only 1% of job seekers are actually motivated by any additional perks like health insurance or ESOPs, etc. So what could be the reason behind it? Why are they not very keen on these additional benefits provided by the companies?
Can we blame it on their age and maybe the lack of immediate need? See, when we are young, we all feel like the world is at our feet, don't we? I asked one of my young recruits, maybe who was obliged because we recruited him a couple of years ago, to right. buy a term insurance because at my age, you know, I think term insurance is important. So I give this gift to everyone. So mm-hmm. he was new and maybe he felt the founder is giving a great advice and he bought it. He got right. married, you know, a couple of years later and his wife said, what a waste of money. We can go abroad in this money every year. He stopped paying and the ICICI Pru agent who mentored is calling me now and saying, boss, you know, your guy is not paying and, you know, my references stopped paying and, you know, chasing me almost, right? So I can relate towards this lack of love towards health insurance and even ESOPs for that matter. Like, you know, mm-hmm. when I was recalling this question, you know, that when I was their age, you know, I resigned from my first job where within 10 months, I was about to get another 10 lakhs of rupees, you know, from my ESOP, which was maturing.
Okay. Okay.
But my relationship with my manager had already hit a dead end.
Okay.
So I quit. You know, I can relate to it that at their age, I would believe the here and now matters more than the future.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Anjana, today, most organizations provide health insurance.
Right.
So, it might be seen as a hygiene factor and nothing extra. So I mm-hmm. don't think they care.
Mm.
I think something they expect from most employers is health insurance. And
correct.
ESOPs might be too far off in the future to hold much value for them.
Okay. Okay. That makes a lot of sense, actually, Kamal. But this, the next one actually gave me a lot of questions in my mind. 45% of Gen Z job seekers are actually preferring hybrid work culture over in-office jobs or just purely working from home. So why do you think that people in the Gen Z generation prefer hybrid work culture?
I think we should stop asking this. Because I would say it's sort of obvious, isn't it?
Yeah,
Should I
it is.
say, they were born with it, come to think of it? For most of them, when they just started work, the pandemic came in and the hybrid remote became a way of life. So I would like to believe there's no surprises there.
All right.
Just to share with you, Anjana, we are a specialist recruiting company. So we have about 310 recruiters who are every day calling about 11,000 job seekers, or you call knowledge
Oh my God.
workers. And the first question that get asked is if the job is remote. If
Oh.
they say no, then they will ask if it's hybrid. And most of them say yes to the third option, that is, coming to office every day, is
Okay.
only if they're jobless.
Oh,
Right?
okay.
So such is the comfort. And we know this generation likes autonomy on their time. Coming to office means there are many code of conducts, starting from timings, dressing, how much time spent on breaks, lunches. So they're judged on a million things by their employers. 85% of my employees are Gen Z, and many have experienced fully remote work. So they struggled with hybrid when we asked them to come. And all of them equally loathe coming to office, and that's a question they ask me in every town hall of ours, right? So a full-time work from office model may significantly hinder their ability to experience and achieve their work-life balance, is what my sense of this is.
Here, I would like to add a question on. So, when we are recruiting Gen Z job seekers, they are looking forward to hybrid work model. But then there is another generation who is on the other end, who is actually recruiting all those Gen Z generation job seekers. So there is like a very different set of attitude here. There will be managers who are not in the Gen Z generation who are very, they give a lot of importance in working from office. So, how do you think that in the future we can bring a balance here? Like some of them wouldn't even prefer a hybrid work culture. Some of the managers wouldn't even mind, wouldn't even prefer working in a hybrid mode. So, do you think that this is going to bring a lot of conflict of interest between these two generations? The managers might be very strict on working from office, but the others, the Gen Zs, want to work from home or do a hybrid work culture. So, how do we bring a balance here in such a situation?
Anjana, already this war is at play, where we have managers who are possibly from the other generation, and we have possibly their reportees who are the Gen Z types. And you can see we are calling it with various names like conscious quitting, things like that. I can tell you that I have two Gen Z girls at home, and from that I can at least this is my inference that this generation of employees hate to be contained. And I was reading the Glassdoor rating of a Gen Z employee of ours who quit a couple of days ago. She gave us a 5 rating as an employer and to the CEO, that's me. But in the comments, she writes that they have unnecessary rules, constrained rules, and regulations that deter you. And I asked her manager, kya hua types? And he says, look, she hated the work tracking. We have a lot of applications. So she hated the work tracking applications, and that came in the way, so clearly it is many of these things, including what we call as autonomy, wanting not to be judged at work, and having really enjoyed the kind of freedom they got during the pandemic, has made it difficult for these generations to sort of work together. We all felt that we had to see our employees in front of us, that they're working. So we are struggling with this world of how the Gen Z says, trust me, I'll deliver to you. And I think till the next generation of managers with the Gen Z themselves come, I think we will have no balance at all. And that's what you're seeing in the quitting. If you look at just the numbers, I was just looking at 8 IT services, bellwethers, Gen Z numbers. They and that is primarily your Wipro, Infy, TCS, Cognizant kind of companies, the 8 large bellwether IT services companies who possibly employ most of the IT workforce in the country. They have close to 4.3 lakh Gen Z workers between the 8 of them. And in the last 1 year, 48,000 of these Gen Zs changed their job. That means they quit, switched jobs rather. So that means that's about 11% of them. And And what we consider as a, bad year, this is pretty high, And at the same time, we hear that the same Gen Z wants to gain experience as per the report that you quoted. But, you see 48,000 people, just switch the jobs. So I think there's something that we are not understanding as managers, which in my view is primarily autonomy and what they seek and don't want to be contained by the rules.
Right. So this brings me to my next question. That's we were just having a conversation on hybrid work culture, work-life balance, and all that. So I think we all know that there was a time when the previous generation or even the millennials, when we get hired, we will be thinking that, this is my job. I need to work hard. I need to do my best. I need to deliver my best. And it's all about doing a lot of work and getting your work done on time. And even if it doesn't ma matter, even if you want to compromise your personal time. But this study so shows that, the Gen Z job seekers are very keen on having a proper work-life balance. So is it something that you have also understood in your process or in your experience as someone who is leading a staffing company? Do you think that this is something that's happening in the world right now, that Gen Z has a lot of preference on their work-life balance?
No, absolutely. I think not just Gen Z, I think all generations now, so in a way that also has seen a change. Even today, I see senior leaders, who call and say, look, and I want a better work-life balance. So I want to change the job. So I get at least one CXO calling me every day. And I think I would like to see that at least half of them today feel that there is a need for them to work for a company which is seeking less of their time and more of their output, right? So I think it is not just Gen Z; it is across generations today, because people believe that with offering less time to their employer, they can actually be equally productive, and by offering that additional time to themselves, they believe that they can bring the better of themselves in their personal life and be more productive for themselves.
Great. So the next question, we just had a conversation about, looking at reviews before we join a company or after leaving. We all leave a mark on certain review platforms on how your experience was with that particular organization. So how do you think that the Gen Z generation is utilizing review platforms to assess potential employers?
I would like to say they're spoiled for choices. And most importantly, I think, Anjana, it's integrated to their daily work process. Think about it. You are sending your office address to someone. What do? You send a Google link of, a Google map of your office address. So even without you wanting it, as they're reading the map, and wanting to, sort of click on it, they get the reviews of your company, right? It could be anybody who even writing about your company, a courier boy who came to actually deliver could also review your company, right? For whatever happened at, at the doorstep. So today, some of these applications are really interlinked to us. So one is that I think comes naturally to them. And two, when I say they're spoiled for choices, you have Glassdoor, your Ambition Box, your Google, your Fishbowl. You just can't escape your online without these reviews and ratings, right? And being digital natives compared to previous generation, so it's important for them to have that conversation as to where they're joining and what they're about. Like I said, the employee who left yesterday, immediately, even before she has got her final check, she went and wrote a review, right? So it is part of their life, part of their expression. So and I think the one is expressing, and two, being clear. When I have an access, let me know what's happening here. So one more additional thing about the ratings thing is, we all know employees today, especially the Gen Z, check for what we call in Xfino, four factors. One is what we call as brand, two, what we call as role, three, what we call as industry, and four, what we call as money, and five, P, which we call as, people. So in various ways, these review platforms offer these generation a kind of a closed look into how does a brand look like for people who have already worked there. And for
Correct.
similar roles, you know, the R that I talked about, they would get an insight into the role where they say, hey, look, this looks like a software engine role, but it isn't. It's actually not a developer role, it's more tech support. And
Correct.
also that somebody will say, actually, hey, look, I joined this pharma company from, let's say, FMCG, but you know, this industry sucks. Things like that. So they get a view of the industry. And
Correct.
definitely money. You know, so people say, look, you know, they give you this money, but they make you work 18 hours a day. So, you know, they also get a feel of, you know, what is real money? And they also know that people inside are they happy with the money they're getting for the quality of the job? And I think the largest input that one gets, or the most important input, I would say, is about people. The
Okay.
reviews talk about the people in the company. It starts from, in some of them, it starts from the CEO, right? So they, even some of the employees don't mind even naming their managers, right?
Correct.
So I think if you look at the framework, what we call as BRIMP, BRIMP, brand, role, industry, money, and people, I think the rating platforms provide them with this clarity. As much as, you know, some of them say they could be rigged, but I still believe that if you really read through the comments, you get a fair you know, assessment of the company that you're joining. So it is integrated in their life. You know, they can't live without it. They're digital natives, so you can't blame them.
I think coming there, I have to interfere and I have to ask another question. So, do you think that it can also affect the employer in a very bad way? Like it can go the negative side because there are employees who may not be a perfect fit or a right fit or who have not really done a great job while they were working at your workplace. But once they move out, if they hold a certain kind of a grudge against the employer, do you think that these kind of review platforms could be a problem to the organization? These kind of reviews may not be so genuine as well. So how do you handle that when situations like that arise?
I would say it would be very difficult to sort of you know, malign an employer by a bunch of employees. You know, you really actually have to gather in thousands to, you know, rig that, or you know, sort of come together and give a negative comment, and so by so, you know, sort
Okay.
of, you know, bringing down the brand, as you called it, right? So I think it's not easy, one. And two, you know, if you look at the number of people who comment negatively, you know,
Right.
has to, obviously, if you're such a good brand, you must be also having people who are getting great experiences, right?
Correct.
So I'm sure it eventually evens out. If you have if you are a great brand, the brand actually wins over it. So my sense is that you know, you know, one or two comments, if you somebody's going to swayed away by one or two comments, I would think that, you know, that's not the right thing to do, because you really need to go deeper and look into some of these reviews if you're really somebody getting swayed away by ratings. But having said that, you know, I was just looking at the Glassdoor ratings of India's 118 unicorns.
Right.
94 of these 118 have a Glassdoor rating of less than 4. We
Okay.
all know that some of the companies you know, may not be the best place to work, right? So I think if you go to the reviews of them, they say it all. It's not just unicorns of India, but if you look at Fortune Great Places to Work's Global Best 100, only 49% have a rating of more than 4. That means half
Correct.
of them do not have a 4 rating. So, and these are thousands and millions of reviews. So, you know, you just can't ignore, or so many people cannot gang up and actually bring down a brand.
All right. So that brings me to my next question. This is on job hopping. I think this is a topic that we all need to discuss. So the report says that lot of Gen Z generation, they are very keen on job hopping. And I think that's pretty evident if you go through the resumes of many Gen Zs. They tend to have only very short duration in each of the companies that they have worked. Maybe it can be like 6 months, 4 months, 3 months. So why do you think that they're very keen on this?
I would say opportunities. You
Okay.
know, like I said, you know, in a bad year, if 48,000 people could switch jobs, that means there must be that many opportunities, right?
All right.
And you know, you won't blame them on that. Yeah, I think we can look at the median tenure of the Gen Z workforce in India, with this now about 1 to 2 years of experience, is about 9 months, and those with about 2 to 3 years of experience is about 1.2 years. Yeah, you can frown at that tenure, so which talks about opportunities if you want to really look at it. So I think it's about the opportunities. If there weren't to be opportunities, why would people job hop at all, right? But having said that, I will take a step back, and I was just looking at some data points, or maybe I heard the podcast some recently, and we look at the CXO's tenure, which is reducing drastically right now. And you won't believe, in the CXO cohorts, the maximum or rather the minimum tenure, or rather the maximum job changes last year was that of CHROs, right? So the people who are supposed to hold people, who are supposed to actually engage and retain people, have the least tenure, So the CHROs, CXOs are having a lesser tenure today in India, and an average of 2.8 to 3 years. So I think when we look at the employment shift that has happened right now, not only in the world but also in India, it's not just the Gen Z who are job hopping. I think it was about opportunities. Every second person I meet who indirectly, even if they are possibly well employed in a great place, would always check with me saying, if there's anything interesting, please let me know, right? So I think people who are appearing stable, or let's say not job hopping in our words, are purely there because either they've not got the right opportunity yet, not because they're happy and they think they want to serve their employer.
Correct.
And I think the Gen Z are simply using the opportunities, they're being expressive, that's all.
The Gen Z seem to be prioritizing inclusivity at workplace. So why do you think that this trend is coming up?
No, I was trying to struggle, thinking about how well informed my own daughters are, because my sense is their exposure outside is more stronger than their families,
Correct.
and that's I think leading them to understand various aspects of inclusivity. Many of them, from what I see, are today exploring educational opportunities that necessitates relocation, either within their country or abroad. My daughter opted to go to Pune, and I see her reacting to some of the things that we can say cliched and what we consider as normal as home as unacceptable, because she has seen the other side of what it means, how she's included elsewhere, and how that is giving them the right kind of a connection to the world they live in. And I think their interconnectivity that they've experienced, they are far more significantly aware than previous generations. Of course, there is social media, which fosters this connectivity across the globe, in fact, and they interact with each other in various modes. So I think it's a hyper connectivity, their ability to live in multiple places. They travel a lot. So I think these are the things put together. I'm seeing that their ability to comprehend and appreciate and demand inclusivity has informed. Anything that is not right, you better be prepared in a town hall or all hands. They will ask, why not? So I think it's purely because, one, like I said, they're well informed, and two, I don't think they fear while they express. So I think that's why they will ask for inclusivity at workplaces.
Amazing. I think we have come to the end of our discussion today, Kamal. I'm sure that our listeners would have gained a lot of insight from this conversation. Thank you so much for joining with us today. It was a pleasure to have you with us.